207 verses 1 and 2.
207?
207.
Wednesday, because she's not doing well,
And the plan, I believe I understood from Peter, was that they would be there for an extended time, perhaps through August. So we do want to wish them the Lord's blessings and the Lord's traveling mercies. Any other greetings to extend?
Chris sends her greetings.
Thank you. Okay, by way of announcements real quickly, as we're aware, the elders will be visiting us this coming Saturday and Sunday. A clipboard in the back is please sign up for interviews on Saturday. They'd like to meet with each one of us on Saturday, individually or, as the case may be, as a family unit, however you feel most comfortable with that. Please sign up. They'll be here all day on Saturday. Wednesday evening, Bible study, and also the following Wednesday. And that will conclude our current Wednesday night Bible studies before our break, and we'll resume in September. Keep Brother Mike in prayer as he brings to us a study on Philippians chapter 1 and 2. Also, I want to ask for prayer. I'll try to put all this on the clipboard there in the back. Speaking of clipboards, don't forget that we can, if we have any specific needs or prayer requests for ourselves, for our family, for our friends, there's a clipboard you can put them on, and then we'll use that in the afternoon service to remember to pray for those specific requests. But I have one this morning. Actually, from John Otrian, the son, 17-year-old son of his good friend, and the boy's name is Tommy Ryan, has leukemia, and he's in the hospital right now because of other complications. So the challenges right now are the complications more than the leukemia at this point, but keep Tommy in your prayers. He'll be going into his senior year in the fall. Also, today was the day designated for the food pantry, just in case you forgot the food out in the car. After lunch today, we'll have a brief song service for those who can stay. And anything else? Let's gather our hearts this morning singing this beautiful hymn 166, "Oh, How Lovely Is the Morning." And we'll sing verses 1, 3, and 6. Oh, how lovely is the morning. And all 166. Mm-hmm. 166. And keep Brother Frank in your prayers as he brings us God's word today. 1, 3, and 6.
Thank you.
Good morning. Welcome into the house of the Lord. Let's begin with a prayer. Our Father and our God, we come unto you in prayer. We thank you for all those that you have brought together this morning, and we ask that we could each receive a blessing, each receive a better knowledge of who you are and how much you love us and care about us. Lord, we thank you for those also who couldn't make it but are on Zoom, and we ask that all would receive a blessing according to your will and according to your ways. Lord, we pray it in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today is June 8th, and it's 50 days since Easter, and usually that's called the Feast of the Pentecost. In the Old Testament, they had a feast on Pentecost. I think they called it Shabbat or something, but they had a feast for the beginning of the wheat harvest, and were thankful for the harvest, and it's also a remembrance of when Moses gave the law in the Ten Commandments that they celebrate on that day also. But we also see that on Pentecost, if we go to Acts 2, I'd like to read from Acts 2. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. And when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers of Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia in Egypt and the parts of Libya about Cyrene and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongue the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this? Others mocked, saying, These men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith the Lord, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaids I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. I've read the entire chapter. And like I said, today it's Pentecost, and in the Old Testament they had feasts reminding of those things, reminding of the harvest, to be thankful for the harvest, and to be thankful for that God gave the law to Moses, and we see here that here is where God is giving the Holy Spirit in a very personal way. And I was thinking about communications, that because communications, right now we live in a world where you can dial the phone of another person in another country, and you can talk to each other in the same way. And years ago, it wasn't like that. And I was thinking that years ago, when there was no communications like that, if you were a family that came from Europe, and part of the family came to the United States, and part was in Europe, really to communicate with that part of your family that isn't in the same continent as you are, was really a difficult thing. You may have been able to send letters, but they would go by boat, and you would have to have someone that would know that family or know where that was and be able to deliver that letter. But that's kind of like the same which was done in the Old Testament, or in the New Testament, even when Paul had written letters to churches, that he would send them by someone to carry that letter over to that church and do that. And so I was thinking how much communication has changed since that time. And I wonder if we're thankful for that we can communicate in this way. But then I was also thinking, what they first did was put a cable from the United States to Europe under the Atlantic Ocean. And I was just thinking, what does it take to put a cable like that for thousands of miles? And what would that cable have to be like? It would have to be waterproof so that it wouldn't be affected by the water. And even the size of the cable and the communications that they used, it was probably still in the days where Morse code was done with and communicating like that. But it would have to be, and even now there are more cables under the Atlantic Ocean, and how they have to be special to be waterproof, and they would have to be special for the communication to take place, and it's a long distance, and the things get weaker and weaker as you go further and further away. But it would take a special cable to do that, and a special type of communication, and even nowadays there's different communications, and they have communications that. Like you can send video even over some of those cables, but it takes a special kind of communication even to do that, because there are ways to do that. Usually they send it in packets of data, and the data would have at the end of it a checksum, they call it, and that would be used to, on the other end, to see that packet of data got there correctly, because it used a checksum to check what that data was, and that it did get there, there in the way that it should. And if not, it would just redo that data packet. And so it's a relatively complicated thing to do that. But here we have that the Pentecost, the Holy Spirit, is given to believers in Jesus, and it's given that, and we think how much better that is, that we have the Holy Spirit to teach us and to guide us, than in the days that were before that, to really have it dwelling within us. And that's something that is hard to even imagine, what that is, to have the Spirit of God to dwell within us. And thinking about Saul, who became the Apostle Paul, but then he was an educated Jew, and he was taught at the feet of Gamaliel, which was a leader in the Jewish Sanhedrin, and he was the one that would teach Saul about the Word of God, and because they didn't have the Bible as we have the Bible today, and every household has more than one Bible. You can have it on your phone also as the Bible. But in that day, there were scrolls that were copied hand by hand of God's Word, and to be able to see one of those scrolls, because it was usually just in the temple or in other places that had these scrolls, but it was hard to get to a scroll that. But Paul, when he was learning at the feet of Gamaliel, he was able to look into those scrolls and look at the scripture, and he was taught by Gamaliel. But Paul originally thought, as did Gamaliel, that Jesus was doing something wrong. He was actually blaspheming, to saying he is on an equal basis with God. And that's something that we have that teaching even today, about that God is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that's difficult for a lot of people to imagine, that there could be three persons, one being, but in three persons, and having different functions. But Paul was convinced that Jesus was doing the wrong thing by making himself equal with God. And he even went to other temples and synagogues to find out, are there people who believed in Jesus, that he was really the Messiah? And if they believed that, he would take those people and he would try to bring them back to Jerusalem, and to be put on trial for believing in blasphemy, that Jesus was making himself equal with God, even though he was equal with God. But does that false teaching was part of that? And I think that also is because they didn't have the whole scripture that we have today, and we have Old Testament books and we have New Testament books, and we can see that. And Paul was convinced that he was doing the will of God by going to those places and bringing believers in Christ back, and to have them punished for what they were doing. So Paul thought he was doing God a favor by doing this kind of a thing, and he thought that's really what God wants. But even today, the idea of a Trinity, or the idea of a triune God, that God is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they all exist. They all are united in one. That's sometimes a difficult thing to explain to someone, how that God can be in three persons. And we may have a difficult time in explaining that to someone, because that's not something that they can imagine. But eventually, when Paul was on the road to Damascus, even he was there to get other believers in Christ and to put them in jail and to put them on trial there. And then Paul, on the way to Damascus, he saw this light and it stopped him and it blinded him that he couldn't see. And he heard the voice that Jesus said that he was the Messiah. And that he was the one that, not that you're doing something right for God, you're doing something wrong against Jesus. And Jesus was part of the Godhead. And again, the Trinity is difficult to explain. It's like three forms of existence, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that are distinct in really the purpose of what they are to do. God was really the creator of everything, and Jesus came to this earth to give us the message of God. And the Holy Spirit is there to live within us, which is something that is really amazing. And so they have different functions that they do, yet they are all one united, loving being. And we can't imagine that in how it really is, but we have to believe that that's what the Bible is telling us. And so we... And now we read in this, in Acts 2, about the Holy Spirit coming upon them. And it came in a very miraculous way that there was first a sound from heaven. It was a sound, it said it's like a rushing mighty wind, or it's like the wind in a storm is very loud, and it makes trees even come down sometimes and blows things around. But here, that was the sound that was first given there. And then we also see that they spoke, that their feet appeared like fire above each of the believers in Jesus there. And it was above each one of them. So there's the sound of the wind, and then there's the, they call it cloven tongues of fire, or like fire above them. And we could see that. And they spoke in foreign languages, which other people understood in the language of their that they were familiar with, in their own language. They heard that even though that was, they were talking, I don't know really how it was, that others heard what they were saying in their own language, in the languages that they were brought up with. And we see that's an amazing thing that God did that, so they would receive God's word, receive what he was saying in their own native language. And that's an amazing thing too, to hear that in the language that they were born in. And I think he lists 18 languages there that people were hearing this in. And I'm not sure how that really works, that they're speaking in tongues, in a language that they're not familiar with, but the hearers of it can understand because it's in their own native language. And I think that's something amazing. And he says that's a fulfillment of Joel 2:28 and 29, where it says, "I will come, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit." And we can see that that's an amazing thing. And it's said that some said these people are just talking nonsense, or that this is they're drunk, and So, and I think they went outside of that room also and started saying these things, and some people could understand it and in that language, and I don't know if everyone could, but it's just amazing that it would happen in that way. And then Saul, who was later called Paul, was wrong in thinking that Jesus was speaking in blasphemy. And when he was on that road to Damascus, he was blinded by that light and he couldn't see, and others had to lead him into safety and into another house. And then he was told also that there's one who wants to speak to him and talk to him about this. And then later on, Paul obeyed the word that he heard. He obeyed the voice that came from heaven, saying he's not doing God's will. He's doing something against Jesus, who is God. He's the Son of God, and we see that Paul would later talk about these things and write about these things Paul spent some time in going over all the scripture that he could find and to look in that scripture and find that it's talking about a Messiah that would come, and Jesus was that Messiah. So it really turned the thinking of Paul all the way around, from thinking that he was doing God a favor to he was doing something against Jesus, who is one with God the Father. And so he came to realize that he was doing the wrong thing there. And then the one that he went to talk to about this said, was able, he would, came, Paul received his sight back after he heard about this and after he went and searched scripture and was able to look into scripture to see are there things that talk about the Messiah, and he would see that the things that Jesus did was really what those scriptures were talking about, the Messiah. And then Paul even talks about his, in Romans 15, 18 and 19, I would like to read that. It says, "For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me, to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyrium, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ." And it's a little difficult in the King James of how that is, but in the Amplified it says, "And of course I will not venture presume to speak thus of any work except that Christ hath actually done through me as an instrument in God's hands to win obedience from the Gentiles by word and deed, even as my preaching has been accomplished with the power of signs and wonders, and all of it by the power of the Holy Spirit. The result is that starting from Jerusalem and far around, I have fully preached the gospel, faithfully executing accomplishment, carrying out the full good news of Christ the Messiah as in its eternity and in its entirety." And so Paul learned to go against the things that he originally thought were right, but to be able to come around and to have God show it to him that Jesus was this Messiah, and Paul went on to preach that. And I like the way it says that, as an instrument in God's hands. So it's not really Paul that is doing, well, Paul may be saying the words, but it's really the Spirit of God that is instructing him of what to say. And I think that's such a mighty thing to, because we spoke about communication before, and what better way to communicate unto us than to have the Holy Spirit within us, and to be able to be taught by the Holy Spirit, and to be able to pray unto God, and to pray that He would show us the way that we should go and the things that we should do. And here in Paul's saying to the Romans that he is just an instrument of God, and he is doing what God is telling him to do by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I think that shows how important it is to be able to listen to the Holy Spirit. And sometimes the Holy Spirit won't, in effect, say things very loud or very forcefully, but sometimes it's just like a still small voice or something that is talking to us as coming from God, coming through as through the Holy Spirit. And I think it's important for us to also, because he talks about being an instrument in the hands of God. And I think that's really what God has for all of us to do, to be God's instruments, to be his hand, his feet, and his voice on this earth. And that's what he's telling us to do, to preach the gospel, to say the wonderful things that Christ is the Messiah that was prophesied, and Christ is the one who came, and he died on the cross, and he came to suffer. And we see the many ways that he suffered even before he was put on the cross, to be whipped and to have to carry the cross and to die on that because of my sin, so that he would take the that was the penalty for my sin, and he would take that upon himself, and he would suffer so that I could be forgiven of those sins. And that's something that's really amazing. It's really amazing to know that so many or thousands of years ago that on a cross Christ would care about me, would care about the things that I have done wrong, and would want to change my life to be obedient to him and to do those things that God would want me to do. And I also think of the phrase, one short life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And I think that's such a powerful thing. And it's not that we are doing the things for Christ. It's really that the Holy Spirit is working through us to do those things, and to do it in a way that God would want, and in a way that God would want. But to be an instrument in God's hand is really the thing that counts. It's not our idea of what we think the scripture says, as Saul did, that Paul did as Saul. He thought that he was doing the right thing, and he thought he was doing that for God. But we really have the Holy Spirit, and we have the method of prayer, and we have the method of reading God's word, and to fellowship with one another to read those things. And I'm also thinking of how often do I rely on myself or my years of education or my years of experience in some things to be a guideline of what I should do, when it's not of myself that God wants to do those things. He doesn't want to do it of talents or education or things that I have, but he wants to work through me and through all of us by his Holy Spirit, that he would guide us in the way that we should go. And it also made me think of Matthew 22:35-40. And here is a lawyer that was a doctor of the law, the law of God. And the lawyer asked Jesus a question, and it said tempting him. He asked the question to tempt Christ. He said, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." And this lawyer was probably, thought he had years of studying God's law and how God had guided people, how he had guided the nation of Israel through the desert and steps. He was thinking that that the lawyer would want him to say, "Yeah, you're reading the law and you're studying the law," and but Christ tells him that it also should be done with love, that it should be done with love for the other people or the people that he's talking to. And I don't think that's what the lawyer expected to hear, and I think it is sometimes not what we expect to hear. And I was wondering also, in my years of being a Christian, does that seem to be a significant guide to the things that I should do? Or should I intensely seek with the hand of God, that the hand of God would lead me and the Holy Spirit would guide me? And I think that's a great advantage, to have the Holy Spirit to dwell within us, that we can come and that we can have him be our guide in what we say and do. And I wonder, when I make decisions, do I always base them on what I think is right, or do I consider the other person that's involved also? Do I consider the love that I should have for everyone, really, before I make the decision? And do I sometimes take credit when things go well, and instead of thanking God, saying that went well because of experiences that I have or something, but rather I should be thanking God and asking God to use me as his instrument to do the things that I do. And we're given what the Holy Spirit is as a teacher. In Galatians 5, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." And I have to ask myself, do I really make good use of what I have in that Christ has put the Holy Spirit within me? And do I really understand what that means, and the opportunities that I have to be guided by the Holy Spirit, and the opportunities to read and to pray and to find out what is God saying to me, or what God wants me to do? And I think that's the more important thing. And it's not if I'm doing something for Christ, but is God using me as a vessel to have his will be done? I think that's That seems like something that that we should be able to do, knowing that we have the Holy Spirit. And I thank God for that. And I hope that I could be a more effective tool in God's hands by submitting myself wholly, entirely unto Him. And I hope that that will continue, and that God will show me those things that should be done and how it should be done according to His will. May the Lord bless His word.
Number 175, 1, 2, and 6.
Given us and the opportunities that abound. And the example that we found here on the day of Pentecost as the Holy Spirit, the rushing wind, and those clouds of fire came down upon the apostles, and they were baptized in the Holy Spirit that day. They were overwhelmed by the immersion that they experienced in the Holy Spirit. And this was the first time we have recorded that the man was indwelled by the Holy Spirit. And so we ask, well, how is it possible that we can day in and day out really be an adequate ambassador of Christ? I mean, how truly is that possible? We are frail, mortal men, aren't we not? Men and women who serve our Lord, but are limited in many respects. Well, the answer we learned this afternoon, which we discussed, that the indwelling of the Holy Spirit grants us then the power, the ability to truly represent Christ. Verses here in Christ spoke to his disciples right before going to the cross, chapter 14 of John, really ring true. And let me just conclude this verse with reading these and briefly commenting, if I may. Verse 15 says this, of chapter 14, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you," Jesus promised. And he has. He has. As Peter wrote, God has given us all things for a life of godliness, to live out our lives only through his provision. And the greatest provision that he has given us is part of the Godhead, and that's the Holy Spirit, to dwell within us. And you know that word comforter that Jesus used there, in Greek really literally means helper. So he has sent the helper to us. He helps us by comforting us, yes. He helps us by helping us remember God's word, as the scripture says, that when we don't know what to say, the Holy Spirit can give us the actual words and the remembrance of his scripture, the word here. He helps us by guiding us through life, presenting us with opportunities to represent him, and the consciousness and wherewithal that we need to be the followers of Jesus Christ, his disciples. And we are so blessed beyond measure to have dwelling within us the peace of God. And how awesome that is, how incredible that is, but oh, how true that is. And just pray that each of us can exercise our faith in such a way that we draw closer to God and the presence of the Holy Spirit dwelling within us becomes more and more and more real every single day. That's Brother Peter, if you would close with prayer. Let's all stand.
Heavenly Father, hallowed be your name. Heavenly Father, thank you for hearing us this day. Heavenly Father, we so thank you for bringing us and our house into your world. Heavenly Father, we pray for those who have not been possible to hear you and our Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for everything you have done for us. In Jesus' name.